This show is called Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. On the show today, we are going to hear later on in the show Gerilyn Steele, who you may know if you're a regular listener to A Prairie Home Companion on this station, as one of Garrison Keillor's fairly regular guests. She also is a gospel singer, singer of many other kinds of music, and she and her brother Billy Steele are going to be giving a concert of caring at to benefit Lutheran Social Services of Illinois. The logical Lutheran connection to Garrison Keillor's show. And it's going to be at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on South Prospect Avenue in Champaign, Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. And we'll tell you more and hear from her later on in the show. But first, we have a guest from the Vespasian Warner Public Library in Clinton, which currently has underway, or is about to get underway, an exhibition which is a traveling show called Rhythm and Roots Southern Music Traditions. And it's available when the library is open, or most of the time the library is open. We'll hear about that in just a few minutes on Live and Local. Stay with us. Was our first offering here on Live and Local to, as we talk about an exhibition called Rhythm and Roots Southern Music Traditions with Bobby Perryman, who is with the Vespasian Warner Public Library. I keep wanting to say music library, but public library in Clinton, which is not a place that I had heard of before, and I'm not even sure how it was that I got word about this exhibition, but it looked interesting to me. So dropped you a note, and you were pleased to come on, and I appreciate that very much.
Thank you for having me.
Who was it we just heard?
We just listened to a duo called Salty Strings, made up of a married couple, John and Connie Nicholas, and they play folk music on wonderful folk instruments, and what we just heard is a traditional Irish piece played on a mountain dulcimer, which is an Appalachian instrument. It's pretty much native to the United States. When the first settlers came to the Appalachian area, they were all Celtic in origin, Scots-Irish and Irish. So they brought with them a very strong musical tradition of pieces like you just heard, short pieces on small instruments that could be easily transported. They also did quite a few ballads, and the next piece we'll be listening to is actually a ballad. And they really represent what this exhibit is about. Rhythm and Roots is about Southern music from the bottom. Sort of
from the bottom.
Well, bottom isn't a great word for it. How about from the grassroots? Just
okay.
Not things that were played in big concert halls, not things done by professionally trained musicians, the music of the people. Appalachian music wasn't really recorded by the world at large until the 1920s and 1930s, even though the people had been there for about 200 years by then. So most of the music is anonymous. We don't know who wrote it. We don't know what its original form was, how it was originally played. It was just passed down orally.
And before we get into more of it, I actually have a very burning question that I have wondered about. Who was Vespasian Warner?
Vespasian Warner was a very important local citizen in Clinton. He was also a member of Congress, and he donated the land and the money to build our public library.
And where did he get his first name?
His father's name was John. Maybe he just thought John was too boring. No, Greek and Roman names were very popular when Vespasian Warner was born, which was 1841. So it's just his father, I guess, showing off his learning and naming him after a Roman emperor.
Well, he obviously knows more than I did because I never heard that name before.
Though he went by Pash.
Oh, well. Okay, then. Let's get back to the topic at hand. You have a link on your website that goes to a place called South Arts.
Yes. South Arts is a federation of about 8 southern states that just celebrates southern art. Musical art, you know, literature, painting, of course, and so forth. And they build these traveling exhibits to go around the country and share the very rich tradition of Southern art.
And how did you find out about this particular exhibition?
Google.
Oh, It's amazing, amazing tool, isn't it?
I'll be honest. This is our fourth major exhibition that we've had at the Vespasian Werner Public Library. We've had one from the Smithsonian Institution, one from the National Holocaust Museum, the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, and one from the National Library of Medicine. We're blessed with a museum space, and we just like to keep it filled. So periodically, I go out and see what I can find.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think about it. Public library, museum space, that doesn't often go together.
We're a bit unique in that. We have our original building that had what was called the club room, just a big upstairs room that the Rotary and the Kiwanis would use. When we built our addition, we built a better meeting space, and we didn't need that room anymore, so we just use it as a museum.
That's great. Is music something that you're particularly interested in and have some knowledge about?
I have some, mostly through my sister, who actually has her degree in music, and I play piano very, very badly. But it's something I enjoy and something I really enjoy listening to, particularly folk music. Salty Strings, we've had to come to the library a couple of times. They're based out of Weldon. And I really enjoy just the melodies and the different instruments that they play. In fact, they've lent us a variety of some really cool old world folk instruments that are part of the exhibit.
Actually, I think I do know where I may have heard about this. I got a press release maybe about somebody who was on your fall concert series.
Yes, I did put out press releases on that. We had Salty Strings. We also had Peter Fletcher, who's a classical guitarist from Atlanta, Georgia.
That's what it was.
He was fabulous, and we have his CDs at the library. And we have Christina Marshall out of Bethany, who is a harpist, and we'll be hearing a piece from her next. And we also had a fiddler named Stephanie Quinn out of Chicago, who was amazing. And I would have hoped that our fall concert series would have coincided with the exhibit, but things happened and it just didn't work out that way.
Yeah, if you happen to have been on the website or go to the website, is it fixed now or do we
still
have
it? It is fixed. I fixed it last night.
Yeah, you told me yesterday that the exhibit was quite late in getting here.
Yes.
And so it's hopefully going to open.
It's hopefully going to open tonight. It should be arriving as we speak. But it was just one thing after another happened with it, but it should be here soon.
And running at least through the end of October.
Yes, through the end of October.
What are the library's hours?
We're open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
The Vespasian Werner Public Library.
You can just say Werner Public if that's easier.
I like saying that, except I have trouble saying it, so maybe I should just stick with Werner. So you sort of introduced this next performer. Why don't you sort of finish the introduction?
This is a young lady from Bethany named Christina Marshall, who builds and plays harps. And she'll actually be playing on a harp that she built. We had her come to the library. And the piece that she's going to be performing is a traditional Appalachian piece called I Wonder As I Wander. And most people put it at Christmas, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a Christmas piece. And what's interesting about it is the way that it was found. It was recorded in the 1920s. And the gentleman who found it was a folk singer by the name of John Jacob Niles. He was going through the Appalachians, just listening to the music and trying to write it all down. And he heard this little girl sing, and I'll actually read what he said. A girl stepped out to the edge of the little platform attached to the automobile. She began to sing. Her clothes were unbelievably dirty and ragged, and she, too, was unwashed. Her ash blonde hair hung down in long skeins. But best of all, she was beautiful. And in her untutored way, she could sing. She smiled as she sang, smiled rather sadly, and sang only one single line of song.
And this is Christina Marshall's rendition of
yes.
I Wonder As I Wander, here on Live and Local. Christina Marshall, I Wonder As I Wander, discovered or collected, I guess is the technical term, by John Jacob Niles, and playing on what looks like a Celtic harp.
Yes, it's called a Tara harp, which again fits with the Celtic feel of Appalachian music.
Tara harp,
yes.
As in Tara in the earth?
T-E-R-R-A? I think it's T-A-R-A.
Oh, so it's just her name maybe.
No, Tara is an old word from Ireland.
Really?
I don't know if you've ever seen Gone with the Wind, but that's why the plantation is called Tara.
You know, I have never seen Gone with the Wind, believe it or not.
I don't think you're missing much, but that's just my personal opinion.
But I did know that was the name of the home, but I didn't know why. And Christina Marshall is from Bethany, Illinois.
Yes.
My guest on Live and Local is Bobby Perryman from the Warner Public Library in Clinton. They have an exhibit that is hopefully going to open tonight, and if not tonight, then within the next couple of days, called Rhythm and Roots, Southern Music Traditions, and you're hearing it on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Help us expand the community of WILL contributors. The Fall Pledge Drive kicks off with a Power Hour on Wednesday, October 20th. Your gift now to the Member Match Fund will encourage others to follow your lead and help keep the pledge drive short. Send your check to WILL Radio, 300 North Goodwinner, Banna, Illinois, 61801, or give online at willpledge.org.
I noticed in the description, Bobby, of this exhibition that it talks about not only some of the roots music that we think of as roots music, such as maybe the song we just heard, or things like Cajun and bluegrass, probably other kinds of Appalachian music, but there's some things that you wouldn't necessarily think of, that I don't think of anyway, as roots music.
Yeah, there's a very interesting variety. You know, everyone south, you think things like country, which came out of Appalachian. You think of jazz and blues, probably. We'll also be covering that. But also it covers Latin influences. There's some interesting pieces we have at the library that I didn't bring with me that are Afro-Cuban, and it will be covering that sort of fusion. Also Native American influences throughout the south. And just what's going on in the South today with immigration, you know, different people coming in and what kind of music they create.
Actually, Afro-Cuban gives me an opening to mention a concert this weekend at the Granard Center in Urbana, which features Chucho Valdez and the Afro-Cuban Messengers. And I had hoped to have an interview with Chucho Valdez. I actually talked with him yesterday morning, but we had a big sound problem with the phone connection, so we won't be able to air that. So I'm throwing in an extra pitch for that, since you just happened to bring that up. But also ragtime?
Ragtime. Ragtime is a really interesting form of music. It, of course, you know, everyone thinks Scott Joplin, and he was the big writer. What's interesting about ragtime is it's the first African-American musical style you get after slavery. Scott Joplin was born, you know, 1867, just 2 years after emancipation. And it's much more upbeat than the previous African-American music that had come before. It's much more optimistic. And it blends European harmonies with a really strong African rhythm. Ragtime's heavily syncopated, so you have the emphasis before the beat, and it just Joplin described it as weird and wonderful kind of a sound, and it spread from the south. It went north, it went to the big cities. Unlike Appalachian music, which is very country, very rural, ragtime is very urban, and even spread to Europe. Ragtime was huge in France, of all places, and WC wrote A Cakewalk, which is a style of ragtime.
And this was a piece, you know, you told me before we queued this up, and WC wrote a rag, and I thought, oh, really? I'd like to hear this. And then I looked, turned over the CD, and said, oh, it's that piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had never thought of it as a rag or a cakewalk, even though that's what it's called. And I'm just as you're talking, I'm going through the tune in my head, so that's ragtime.
Absolutely.
Right there. And I'll bet you many of our listeners will know this piece. I won't name it just yet. Let's see, who's our... I don't know if we know who our performer is. Do you have who the performer is?
No, that one I'm not sure of.
It might be Paul Crossley. Let's find out. Here we go. Thank you. So we heard two rags, and the first one, as I said, I hadn't thought of one, thought of as a rag. It was Gollywog's Cakewalk by Claude Debussy from his Children's Corner Suite. It was originally for piano solo. It's been arranged for many different versions, and obviously there was not played by a pianist. It was the ensemble, the Vienna-Berlin Ensemble, Ensemble Wien-Berlin. And then we heard Scott Joplin himself from a piano roll playing his own tune called The Easy Winners here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, as we're talking about an exhibition at the Warner Public Library in Clinton called Rhythm and Roots, Southern Music Traditions, which, as Bobby Perryman pointed out, have made themselves over to Europe. Actually, it's sort of ironic. I guess some of it, a lot of it started in Europe, came over here, and is getting morphed.
Well,
everywhere.
The next piece we're going to hear is Drunken Lullabies by the band Flogging Molly. And
it's, I love some band names.
Yeah, that there's a story behind it, but I won't share it now. But
probably just it sounds like maybe a good idea.
But then they're using, you know, they're a Celtic band, and of course Appalachian began as Celtic music, but they're using Appalachian music instruments such as the banjo, taking it back to Ireland and making an Appalachian-like sound only in Europe.
And, well, let's just say the opening fools you a bit.
It does a little bit, yes.
What's the tune called?
Drunken Lullabies.
Drunken Lullabies on Live and Local. I don't know for how many of our listeners that was your cup of tea, but I got to say, that's one of my cups of tea, and I really enjoyed that. A tune called Drunken Lullabies from a disc of the same name by the Irish band called, I just forgot it, Flogging Molly.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you the story later.
Okay.
But my guest on Live and Local for this portion of the show has been Bobby Perryman with the Warner Public Library in Clinton. And are you kind of the curator, or not really, since it's a touring show?
Yeah, since it's a touring show, I'm not for that. But for anything that we usually borrow things from other people to complement the exhibits. Like currently, we have some old world folk instruments from Salty Strings, and I suppose you could say I'm the curator for that. We actually do have an archive, and our next exhibit will be stuff from our archive, and we have an archivist named Jenny Freed who takes care of all of that.
And the touring exhibition is called Rhythm and Roots, Southern Music Traditions, with some surprising traditions in there. And so there's instruments, there's recordings.
Recordings, panels that just kind of tell part of the story. And the story is too huge of Southern music to tell all in one exhibition. But it tells the story of the common people who made the music that made the South famous.
Well, thanks very much for coming over. Sounds like a great show.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope it indeed gets fixed up for tonight.
I sincerely hope so.
All right. You can look for it through the end of October. And this is Live and Local. Stay tuned for Geralyn Steele, my next guest on the show. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music. Isn't that coincidental? Breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309.
See, I am Julia Granddaughter, the spitting image of my father.
My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Geralyn Steele, who is, first of all, herself, but she is also one of the Steeles, a family vocal ensemble, gospel ensemble. You may know her if you're a fan of A Prairie Home Companion, as a fairly regular guest on that show. In fact, she was just on last weekend. And she is going to be in Champaign with her brother Billy, performing a concert of caring as a benefit for Lutheran Social Services of Illinois at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on South Prospect in Champaign. That's Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. And she's joining us from, I guess you're sitting outside the airport in Minneapolis at the moment.
I am indeed. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing just fine. Or is the airport in St. Paul? I never know
how those things go. It's the airport in Minneapolis, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. And just dropping off your son to go where?
Dropping off my son, they go back to his where he's living in Los Angeles, a very hard-headed son who challenges the airports every time because he's always late.
And I gather he was as today as well.
Yes, but you can't help but love him. So.
Yeah, how many kids have you got?
I have two children, and my son just graduated from college in May with his first degree, and my daughter graduated in May with her third degree.
So that is one of your roles of as a mother, but in addition to being a musician, I understand you've been doing some public speaking and also some working with various, charitable groups or causes that have become important to you?
Yeah, I do feel like it's really important for us to give back as artists. Because our work is usually from a soul perspective, and so I always look to give back that gift, whether it's nursing homes or children's organizations, which I really, really enjoy. I do workshops in various schools and volunteer that way. So, yeah, I really love doing that. That's a big part of my life.
And how does this – have you been involved with this particular group, Lutheran Social Services, or is it something that they came to you and said, hey, would you do this?
They came to me, and it's my first time. I'm really looking forward to meeting the staff as well. I have been a part of a Prairie Home Companion, as you know. Many Lutherans listen to the show. A lot of the jokes and a lot of the banter and scripts are biased towards Lutherans, and so they called and asked me to do this tour, and I was just honored and thrilled to do so.
And what's your own religious upbringing?
My own religious upbringing is Pentecostal. The name of the denomination was Church of God in Christ, very strict. I used to call it the do's and don'ts faith because there were so many things I could not do. I couldn't wear pants. I couldn't wear short sleeves or sleeveless. I couldn't curse. I couldn't play sports. And this was many, many, many years ago. Of course, it has changed throughout the years and morphed into something much more social, much more forgiving. But, wow, it was very strict denomination when I was growing up.
And how long did you stay in that, and how have things modified for you in your own belief system?
Severely modified, really. I don't have a church home as of now, but I am a very spiritual person, but not necessarily religious. And I raise my children as Christian, in the Christian faith, and they, too, are very spiritual, but not necessarily religious.
So how does gospel singing fit into your life at this point?
Well, gospel singing is defined as the good news. And so songs that are about the good news, whether it is the good news of God or the good news of life, the good news of love and relationships, that's what I sing about. So many people will look to me and say, oh, you're a gospel singer. You must only sing Christian music. But that's not so. I sing music with a message, inspirational, uplifting, fun, engaging. But it has to have a message that you can take away and maybe apply to your life.
And does that sort of describe the program that you'll be doing with Billy Steele throughout Illinois this week or so?
Absolutely. I'm so excited about this program because it's a chance for me to bring my experience from a Prairie Home Companion to the stage, a very intimate setting where I get to tell stories about what happens behind the scenes to me in a Prairie Home Companion. And each song has a story attached to it. And I love telling these stories. And people laugh, they cry, they celebrate. It is really fun. It's interactive. The audience sings along with me. I'm a person who happens to love a receding hairline or a bald head. So if you are bald, I will look for you in the audience and I'm coming for you.
Uh-oh. Maybe I better stay away.
Come, Kevin, come down.
Because that would be me.
Yeah, exactly.
At least with the largely receded part, I guess. So are you kind of assuming that many of the folks that will come to these concerts are fans of Prairie Home Companion or not necessarily?
I would hope not necessarily. The bottom line is that we're not trying to espouse any faith or religion on people at all. We are simply sharing good music with good news. A lot of the songs people have heard me sing on A Prairie Home Companion, so I do hope that we will get fans from A Prairie Home. But don't think that this is for any age group. This is for your children, your grandchildren, your teenagers, your young adults, new families, grandparents. You know, I say from 8 to 80, and all have had a great time. I have been on the road before and performed these songs, and I have a brand new CD out called Geraldine Still Sings the Songs from A Prairie Home Companion, and people just love it because there's a little something on there for everyone, whether it's country or folk or R&B, gospel, you know, a little bit of blues, you name it, it's on there, and even a patriotic medley. So we hope people will come and really experience the music that they hear on A Prairie Home.
Are you traveling around with a band or with piano, or who's going to be playing behind you?
I have done both, but when I come to Illinois, it is just my three-time Grammy Award-winning brother, Billy Steele. He's the associate director of The Sounds of Blackness. He'll be joining me, and it's amazing. Billy can take a piano and make it sound like a band. He really is a remarkable musician. So many people are asking him to please record his own CD because it really... the music that he delivers, it's incredible. He will also sing a little bit with me. But it's really funny, the banter between the two of us and the chemistry between the two of us as siblings. You really do feel it and sense it in the audience.
Who is the elder of the two?
Then must I tell you that,
Karen? I was just curious about who's going to take the dominant role in this conversation.
Well, you know, I try because I am the elder of the two. However, he wins out a lot of times. But I do tell my stories from A Prairie Home Companion, and he and I both have done two of the cruises for A Prairie Home where we presented many, many concerts, sometimes three a day. On the cruise, and I tell you, people, they would just pack it out and come and experience all those songs as well as so many others that they haven't heard me sing. And I do throw in some songs that I haven't recorded that people have heard me sing on the show as well. I bring a few volunteers or victims, some might think, up on stage with me just to, you know, be my pips or pipettes, and we just have a great time.
To be your what?
My pips. You remember Gladys Knight and the Pips?
Ah, yes. Okay, yes.
Oh, is that before your time?
No, it is not before my time. It is not before my time. I just wasn't quite sure I heard what you said on the cell phone.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in A Prairie Home Companion?
It's really interesting. Back in the early 90s, Garrison Keillor invited my family, the Steeles, who had international acclaim at the time. He invited us on to sing, and then there was many years before we were called back, and I did a theater piece called Mahalia. That was written by Tom Stoltz, one of the local theaters here, and a great actor. And it opened to great critical acclaim, and Mr. Keillor called and asked me to come and sing a few Mahalia songs on his show. And I had a chance to do that, and then I was called back in about 4 years later, and they asked for just me, not the family, and I would come on and sing with Garrison. Usually we would do duets. You know, many hymns that he grew up singing in the Lutheran church and hymns that I grew up singing in the Pentecostal church, although they are somewhat different, which we had fun with. And then it just kind of opened up to the movie, the Robert Altman-directed movie. It was his last movie called A Prairie Home Companion, and that featured Meryl Streep and Lily Tomlin and Lindsay Lohan and Kevin Kline and Tommy Lee Jones and so many others, Woody Harrelson. Virginia Madsen. Anyway, I had a small part in that and had a chance to be a part of that, and then he started bringing me on more, and I'm not a regular. I'm just a special guest, but man, do I love it. And because I'm an avid listener of the show as well, I just love being on the show, so I'm always thrilled when I can make, you know, when I get the call and I can change my schedule to make that happen.
So what's he like to sing with?
Fantastic. The wonderful thing I love about Garrison and I is that we both neither one of us feel like you have to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfect singing, as far as I'm concerned. And so we don't try to be perfect singers. We just try to be perfectly us and to give completely from ourselves. And we're vulnerable and wonderful together. There's something really special there. And he allows me to just be me. You know, my funny self. Just this past weekend, he made jokes about the outfit that I had on, and, you know, I was able to quick-wittedly, you know, get back at him on that, and he allows that. I just love it. It's so much fun. It's like brother and sister or father and daughter being on stage together and just having a great time.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Geralyn Steele from her new CD of songs from A Prairie Home Companion, Something's Got a Hold of Me. And she's going to be with Brother Billy Steele at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Champaign Saturday night at 7 o'clock. For more information, call 217-352-1732. I noticed that I pulled a bio off of somewhere on the web. I'm not even sure where I got this one that talks about the various types of singing you do, in addition, of course, to what you do with Garrison and with your family, including things like commercial jingles, commercial songs, and doing some theater work, which you mentioned in the case of Mahalia. What would you say is your biggest singing focus right now, and how have you integrated these various types of music?
Well, as you know, when you're self-employed, you integrate as much as you can. You do as many things as you can because you are free to do that. That's the beautiful part of singing. You don't have to just sing. I also have a radio show. I'm a talk show host that's heard in 30 states. I write jingles. I sing jingles. Whatever I can do to use my voice. Because I wrote down years ago, Kevin, I must have been 19 years old. I wrote down on one of my resumes that I wanted my voice to be heard by the masses. Little did I know what that meant. That means your voice can be heard in various ways, whether it's a speaking voice, whether it's a singing voice. It doesn't matter as long as it's being heard and felt and affecting people worldwide. And that has, it's been really humbling to see how that has played out and unfolded in my life. So what do I concentrate on? Nothing. I allow it to happen. Just this past July, I sang with the Minnesota Symphony Orchestra for the first time. The first time, as long as I've been in Minnesota, it's the first time I've sang as a soprano with the Minnesota Symphony Orchestra, and it was very successful. I was just so honored to be there and had the best time. I had performed with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra years ago, but this was my first time with the Minnesota Symphony. So
Did you sing?
I sang a few songs, and by the way, in the original keys for the sopranos, like Kathleen Battle and Jesse Norman, which, by the way, I am not a soprano, okay? But they kept them in the original keys, and there were songs from a Porgy and Bess, like Bess, You Is My Woman, and Summertime, as well as patriotic songs like The Star-Spangled Banner and God Bless America.
You know, I've always kind of wondered how black singers may feel when somebody says, "Oh, would you sing something from Porgy and Bess?"
Yeah, I have to tell you, there's a part of me that is sensitive to that, only because most people want to hear you sing it in its original vernacular, which is the Gula vernacular, I believe. The Gula people, you know, they would speak like, you know, "Bess, you is my woman. Come on over here." That isn't how I speak. And so I would prefer, and the same thing happened with the Mahalia show. When I was doing the Mahalia show, I didn't want to speak it in her vernacular because I felt like it would be distracting. I wanted people to receive the message without having to hear it through that vernacular. So I am sensitive to it, but not necessarily averse to it.
Because, you know, it just seems like, you know, you have a black singer, so somebody says, will you do Gershwin, or will you sing some spirituals, just under the assumption that every black female singer does spirituals, which
right.
you may or may not do.
Well, if every black singer does not do spirituals, I encourage them to try it, because there's something really special about songs that have been written from such a deep personal place. Same thing with gospels. Some of the gospels and even some of the hymns have been written out of people's burdens. I think that's one of the lines in the Mahalia show, and that's exactly what it is. So experience the songs. Even if you don't want to perform them live, just try singing them in your own home, in your own private space, because they are worth trying. I mean, I tried to sing. I actually sang background with my siblings once for a rock band, more like a metal band, and it was quite interesting. But I tried it.
Yeah, and how did that go over?
Well, you know, the audience really received it well, and they allowed us to sing one of our songs to step out and kind of showcase us, and we had a great time with them. In fact, there was the keyboard player in this particular group. They were called Chameleon. The keyboard player was Yanni. And look how famous he is today.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Have you ever done any opera?
My sister Javita has. She's has an Oscar nomination under her belt. She's done some opera, but no, not necessarily, not legitimately. Let's put it that way.
Because you've got a powerhouse of a voice. Seems like if you wanted, you could.
You know, what's interesting about that, Kevin, when I was in college at Ball State University, I had the opportunity to sing for several opera teachers. And one in particular wanted to train me, and she said, you know, I'd like to take you under my wing, and I think you'd be a fantastic opera singer. I said, wow, I should try that. But then she said, I'm going to change everything about your voice, the way you have sang all of your life. You will never sing that way again.
Mm.
And I looked at her and said, no, thank you.
I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Or not.
I wasn't ready for that, and I'm still not ready for that.
Well,
although their paycheck kind of makes me want to get ready for that, but no.
Well, but there's something about opera singers who sometimes will do crossover, as they call it, and they always sound like opera singers, almost always sound like opera singers doing crossover.
Exactly.
Whereas keeping your voice in its many multi-facets, you can do all the things that you're doing and sound like you're doing it naturally.
Well, I have on a Prairie Home Companion taken on to singing in other languages. I've sang in Hebrew. I've sang in the Swedish language. I have sang in Italian. And so that has kind of prompted me to look at what are the, you know, what will it take for me to commit to learning a different style of music? What if I took some opera, some classical classes, and learned how to sing an opera? You know, why not learn Carmen? Why not learn something different and just try it? So I've actually thought about it very seriously.
And so what about jazz singing?
Now, jazz singing I have attempted. I was terrible at it. Thank you very much.
What made you terrible at it?
Well, I'm not sure what made me terrible at it other than I don't understand it. It's very technical. I'm a very sentient person. And so the technical aspect of jazz, I wasn't good at. The scatting, like Ella Fitzgerald, every note was perfect. Every note, you know, seemed perfect, seemed exact. And I never got it right. I was in a group called More by Four. Sanford Moore started this group, and we sang all over. And we did all of this jazz, you know, Louis Armstrong, and we attempted, Duke Ellington and, you know, a lot of pieces that I never got right. So I really tried to, you know, stave off the request for solos, but inevitably I would attempt them, but I wasn't good at it.
Mm. Is partly the improvisatory element?
Yeah, it really is, and I wasn't good at that particular style.
Isn't there an element of that, though, isn't there an element of that in gospel singing, though?
There is an element of that, but I'm better at that, I should say, because that's what I grew up in. That's what I knew. I heard it day in and day out. So I'm very comfortable attempting it. Whether it's good or not is for someone else to determine, but at least I'm very comfortable there.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned your talk show, and before I let you go, I'm just curious about that. It's not something I've heard. It's called Steel Talkin'
What,
yes.
Do you have a particular focus on that show or focuses?
I do not. It's interesting. I get a chance to talk about everything from parenting to politics. I talk to about, you know, sex education with teenagers, you know, to elderly care. And the wonderful thing about it is that I get a chance to continue learning and to involve my audience in that learning experience. I don't attempt to, you know, be the smartest person in the world. I don't try to hide behind subjects that I only know things about. I talk about things I know nothing about, and I encourage us to learn together. So I love this walk. I've been doing it for 12 years on one of the oldest radio stations for CBS, and I just love it.
And I assume you have guests that you're talking with and about all these topics?
I do. I have lots of guests. I've interviewed anyone, you know, people from Ramsey Lewis to some top politicians, you know, governors as well as mayors and the like. It's a wonderful experience. I love it. I also do entertainment where I present all of the local fare and encourage people to get out, because Minnesota, particularly the Twin Cities, we have as many theaters per capita as New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Had no idea.
Really. So in that, we are constantly encouraging people to get out and see a great theater piece, get out and see a great concert, and there is lots of it. Just like, you know, Champaign and Urbana, you guys have a lot of stuff for the young people to do, and in the Twin Cities, specifically in the arts.
Well, and speaking of great concerts, you're going to be singing one, and that's why you're talking to us here today. It's Geralyn Steele, who will be joined by her brother Billy at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Champaign, Saturday evening at 7 o'clock there on South Prospect in Champaign. It's called A Concert of Caring. It's going to be a benefit for Lutheran Social Services of Illinois. And for tickets and information, I'm not sure if you need tickets, but in any event, for information, you can call area 217-352-1732. And your website, Geralyn, is
TheSteelesMusic.com.
The Steeles, and that's STEELES.
.com.
And you can find out lots more about her and check her out on A Prairie Home Companion. I appreciate
Kevin,
your joining us.
Thank you so much.
It has been a pleasure. And I'll try to hide out somewhere so you don't find my bald head if I'm there on Saturday.
Oh, it'll be shining and winking at me. I'm coming for you.
Thanks very much.
I'll see you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I hate to see that evening sun go down. Hate to see that evening sun.